Tune in to Refresh Radio with Regina Johnson.
Who is Regina Johnson? Regina
Johnson. Author, pastor, motivational speaker, and life coach.
Regina is inspirational,
motivating others to live out their purpose.
Regina is passionate,
tenacious, and relentless about helping others fulfill their destiny. Her goal is to bring a refreshing to someone's life. Join us every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Dial in to share your heart with Regina at 657-383-0309. That's 657-383-0309. And remember that Regina says,
we all know you really haven't failed until you stop trying. I want to be to people what others have been to me. And so that's really the purpose of Refresh. The end of the day, for people to feel refreshed.
So call in at 657-383-0309. That's 657-383-0309. You'll be blessed by her wisdom, strategies, and encouragement. That's Refresh Radio with Regina Johnson, a Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to Refresh. I am Regina Johnson, your host, and I want to just thank you for tuning in every Sunday evening at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern. Today, we are discussing women in history. I could have selected many women to in which I'd like to chosen to discuss, but I wanted to have on the show today a lady that, she thinks I'm joking, but I am so serious when I say it, has truly impacted my life from the history of my life. Not only just impacting me, but she's impacted the lives of others. And that is my mother. Her name is Tommy West. She is a retired educator and is just a true blessing to many. And so I have her on the show today. I want to welcome you. Her name is Tommy Mae Dabney West. When we think about or talk about women in history, immediately there were like many other women, you know, pop into my mind, you know, like from actors to singers to other educators. Before we came on the air, I was discussing with you Barbara Jordan. To say that I know that you are a woman that made a great impact on your community, on the lives of many people in the communities in which, and I say communities because you have taught in several other areas besides where we are, and people remember. I remember once when someone asked you for the career that you were in because of how you got through your first year in high school. Track is your students, many of them, a mom to some, a confidant to others, and they still, you have grown to still show up at your home to spend time with you. And to the point, if they're even back in state or in to make a point to come by to see you. I want to just kind of jump in and say thank you from my, you know, from my standpoint. It really raised the bar for me in my own life. As a matter of fact, the first time I saw you speak over at, was at a church on Women's Day. Or I take that back. I'm not even sure if it was Women's Day. But you were speaking, and the very first time I heard you speak, I watched your mannerisms and how comfortable you were with speaking to an audience. And needless to say, I was proud, but I wanted to be like you when I saw that. The next time was when I heard you speak. You went before me at, I want to say was at Mrs. Cook's funeral. So a thing I was to you, really share, and you're such an articulate woman, brilliant. And so I just remember just kind of getting swept away in the moment of just thinking, wow, you know, that's absolutely incredible. And so I love you for who you are. And I'm just saying because we're on the radio, but I admire you. I didn't think of anyone greater that could be on the show today than you, Mom. So if you could, I'm just going to ask a little bit. Why don't you share some of your background? Where are you from?
I am from Bryan, Texas. I grew there in the, I was born in 36, so I grew up in the 40s and 50s. I went to what is now known, what was known as Booker T. Washington Elementary School in Bryan. I went from there to Kemp High, E.A. Kemp High School, which is no longer E.A. Kemp High School as I knew it. But at that time, you should remember that the 40s and 50s and even into the 60s, we were not integrated. That was a segregated system. So it was all segregated. But we grew up as a family, not only from elementary school, but all the way through. I still have friends from, I have one very dear friend that we met in the third grade at Washington Elementary School, Booker T. Washington Elementary School in Bryan. And we have been friends throughout that time, and we feel like sisters because we have shared so many things. And, you know, when you have one good friend,
right,
you have a jewel, because we don't usually have one good friend, but we are truly good friends, and we can talk to each other about anything. I don't remember even having a disagreement of any kind. And another thing that I can say about our community there in Bryan, in the Black community, that from Kemp High School, we are still connected from the 40s through to the 70s. And we have what is called reunions. And the reunions, the most one that stands out in my mind was the decade of the 50s from E.A. Kemp High School in Bryan. We just are a close-knit group of people. It doesn't have to be your classmate. It's your schoolmate. It was segregated. It was like a community school.
Mm-hmm.
And we were connected there. We not only went to school together, but we went to church together. And if we didn't belong to the same churches, we still associated and fellowshipped. And that was a great fellowship between the churches.
Right.
When I was growing up there in Bryan.
When you were, also when you were growing up, one thing that I noticed, like with you and your friends, mm-hmm. That you really pushed each other.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed
mm-hmm.
that. I remember when I was really young, I don't even know how old I was, but you were working on some degree at Prairie View.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go to the school in the summertime, and I would stay in the dorms.
Mm-hmm.
With whoever was staying there. I think Mrs. Green was actually
yeah.
staying there on campus, which was another dear friend of yours. I remember us there. But I remember watching you guys just help each other, you know, with your papers and preparing thesis and so on and so forth. And it was absolutely incredible how you watched the camaraderie, but also that little, I don't know what it was, you really just heard each other, really care to a certain degree. I was sharing with someone not long ago how I remember going and sitting, and you know, while you guys are working on your thesis,
mm-hmm.
I remember you helping write. I remember others helping you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember just kind of going to different people's homes. Mrs. Ina Plessy, I remember going to her house. It was so cold. But there while y'all were working, was it on hers or yours?
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely incredible. But you didn't jump up up,
no.
You know, as the woman that you are today. And I have to say that you have been recognized as being a vital part of the educational system here in Conroe area. When you retired, it did not go unnoticed. A lot of great input from both faculty as well as other students. Correct. When we come back, we want to talk, just share a little bit just about like your history. When you were coming up, it wasn't really easy. A little bit about your mom. Your sister also is an educator. Most of your friends were. We're just going to talk about that, what your home life was like. Your dad a little bit back from there. I was sharing with someone, I think it was maybe in the last week, said I had an older cousin, we used to call him Professor Stanley. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking how strange that was. Like, I don't even know what his last name is, but I know he was Professor Stanley. And I remember asking you as a child, why do we call him Professor Stanley? Because he is a professor. And we're now you saying like people are not one of your classmates. He had been where was he a professor at?
In New Caney.
In New Caney. Wow.
That was a time when students from New Caney, Tamar, bus to Booker T. Washington School.
Wow.
Yes. And so he was a principal before that even happened.
Wow.
But after that, all of the students would come from high school students from New Caney,
right.
Tamina, were a part of Booker T. Washington School here in Conroe.
Wow.
Because at that time, Booker T. Washington was consolidated from the first grade through the 12th grade, and there was atmosphere. We were all, even if we were not even the same age or anything, but there has always been a closeness, and not only a closeness here in Conroe, but in growing up at home in Bryan,
right.
There's always a closeness, and there still is a closeness that
still
we have with each other. And the background is a Christian background.
Wow. Hey, look, we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Refresh. I'm Regina Johnson. I'm your host. I'll see you in a second.
The Word of God is truth. And if He says that He will never leave us, if He says that He is perfecting the things concerning us, then you best believe that He is. We serve an awesome God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. So to my brothers, my sisters, let's gut it up. Because the outcome is going to be great.
Don't miss Refresh with Pastor Regina Johnson. Every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Never Had It So Good 101.1 is proud to have talk radio on their platform. Like Pastor Regina Johnson, Refresh Radio, James Deshay, Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, Daquan King, Revive Radio, Warren Sally with Man Cave Radio, Sky Wonders with Unmuted, Your Voice Matters, Wake Up Call Radio with Pastors Warren and Annie Sally, Peace Within Radio with Henry Washington, The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, Dig Radio with Pastor Annetta Watson, Crazy Sports Mom with Doretha Anderson, Been There, Done That with Cindy Smith, Pave Your Way to Success with Rudy and Michelle Govan, Spiritually Reincarnated with Gilbert Sines, In Times Like These with Benita Coney, Sports Talk Atlanta with Matt D. and Travis McGee, Sports Talk Carolina with Andre White and Neek Emerson, Sports Talk Money Podcast with Elliot Johnson, Power 803 with Reverend John Robinson, Totally Healed Radio with Angel Anderson, Bless This House Gospel House with Bishop Timothy Henderson, and It's a Way Out and a Way to Stay Out with Marlon Reed. I'm talking about absolutely the best talk show host in the country right here on Never Had It So Good 101.1, the world's radio station. Spreading the word of the Lord through music ministry on Gospel 107. We're live on NHISG 101.1 every Sunday. Gospel music from legends Lee Williams, Rance Allen, and Shirley Caesar. Join us for Sunday service delivered by Pastor Regina Johnson, Pastor Russell Moore, and Pastor Johnny Ray Noble. Bible study with Pastor Aaron B. Williams. And Christian Talk Radio with Pastor Annetta Watson, Pastor Annie Sally, Pastor Warren Sally, and Benita Coney. Gospel 107, every Sunday on Never Had It So Good 101.1. It's the sweetest name.
Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth, and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is the person down the street, you know, so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, you reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to Lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
Oh. Well, I'd like to take the opportunity to welcome you back to Refresh. I'm Regina Johnson. I am your host. Before I go much further, I'd like to give a shout out to my girl, Princess Cooper. Princess, thank you again for all that you do for us and to all the other hosts of NHISG Sports Media. Also, I'd like to invite you to meet or to join me, like meet with me. Join me on Facebook, Regina Johnson, also on Instagram as well as on Twitter. On Twitter, it is Journey Strong, and I'll meet you there. You can post any comments you'd like to make, any requests that you would like for us to share or talk about on the show. We are discussing women's history. I selected my mother, Tommy Mae Dabney West, all right? And we are discussing her life today because she has really impacted our community. But I want you to know that even if you were just at home, you're listening, you can play an important role in history. I think it was JFK that was it JFK that said the hand that rocks the cradle. I believe that it was. And so, but it was Roosevelt that said the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And so that shows that we have the impact. Level. My mother is an educator, is taught on every level. And so I want to welcome you back to the show, Mom. Before we went on break, we were starting to enter into just a little bit about your background. So we know that you grew up in Bryan. We always say Bryan College Station as if they are one, but Bryan, Texas. But you growing up in your home, what was your home life like?
Well, it was always extended family. It was always an extended family. I had the love of my mother, my father, my grandmother, and my in and out, my mother's sister, my mother's uncle, my mother's cousin. And we were, the main thing in the family was a love and introduction to God.
Now, when you were saying this about like having all of this family support, mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of trying to move you on because mm-hmm. there's some really important things mm-hmm. that I want to really touch on. So when we see that, the thing that I think about when you say you had the support of your family, we were mm-hmm. talking about how you as classmates and friends, mm-hmm. that you were more than just friends mm-hmm. and classmates, but it was like a big nucleus of family. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that my grandmother, your mother, used to share with me was, and I think you might have too, that when you are in school, could you share a story about y'all's school clothes, like your uncle? Or was that for college?
No, that was from my elementary school days on through, because in 1942, my mother's only brother left Texas, left Bryan, and went to Detroit, Michigan to work on the assembly line. Mm-hmm. He did not have any young children. His children were grown older than my sister and me. So, every year, more than one time a year, my uncle's wife would get boxes. She would send us boxes of clothes, and that would be supplies, shoes, everything that we wanted, because they did not have children of their own. So they would just load us up with clothes,
wow,
shoes, underwear, anything, sweaters. And so we always, when my classmates think of me, they think of me and think of Betty as having not hand-me-downs. We never had hand-me-downs,
wow,
even though we were poor.
Wow.
But we didn't realize we were poor because we always had our uncle supplying or bringing up the slack that my mother and father could not do.
Wow. I remember Aunt Betty, which is your sister, mm-hmm. your older sister, she said, we didn't know we were poor.
No.
Didn't know, because the gap was always filled in. I think that was important for you because of what God was getting ready to do in your life, so in both of your lives. And so also a very, I love this also, my grandmother, she would tell me, she said, I scrub floors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I scrub floors for my daughters to be able to go and to be educated. And also another one, she told me, she said that there used to be a vehicle that would come around and pick kids up mm-hmm. and adults to go and pick cotton. Mm-hmm. But she said she didn't want you to be on that. She didn't want y'all to do that. And she said she had done all that she was going to do and that she had no desire for you guys to do that. That, to me, spoke volumes of how God was really putting some things in place that you would not be just mm-hmm. your average run-of-the-mill. I remember they were selecting the teachers to go to the moon. Thank you, God, that you were not selected. But I remember us just really so excited about, you know, just even the potential that you even thought of, you know. And that was absolutely just, I mean, incredible. I mean, wow, Ma, that's huge. That's huge. I mean, excuse me for saying, I mean, but because my mind just keeps going back. You know, I remember that shuttle experience and that crew that was lost, mm-hmm. but just, you know, for you to even be thought of, mm-hmm. I remember that. That was absolutely incredible. Incredible. And so anyway, so you go on and your uncle is filling in the gap.
Mm-hmm.
You graduate from high school there in Bryan College Station. Bryan, Texas, sorry.
A. Kemp High School.
We'll give
Bryan,
it a shout out.
Texas.
Bryan, Texas. And you go from there to where?
To Purview A&M. Well, it was Purview University then. And before we get off into college,
mm-hmm.
there was not a time in my life
mm-hmm.
that I didn't have there was not a question in my mind,
mm-hmm.
even in elementary school. That's where I need to begin.
Okay.
I was influenced through the love of reading from a sixth grade English teacher.
Right. Like, how old were you when you said you knew you were supposed to be, you wanted to be an English teacher, not just a teacher. You want to be an English. Who does that?
Well, I did.
Right.
I was in the sixth grade. And Mrs. Eloise King, she was my sixth grade teacher, and I thought she was the most beautiful lady. She was our homeroom teacher, and of course, then they taught all of the subjects except math.
Mm-hmm.
And she was our choir teacher, she was my English teacher, and she introduced me to the world of reading.
Mm-hmm.
And at that particular time, we had what was called a bookmobile that came around in the summers, and I always loved to read, and I just would thirst for reading. I didn't have to go to the library because the bookmobile was coming by, and I could check out books and read these books. And also, there was a card game called Arthur Cards. It wasn't like Old Maid, but it had names of authors and the titles of on the books that they had written.
So who could play that with you?
Also, we played in the neighborhood.
Wow, go ahead.
And I remember at that age, Huckleberry Finn. I remember Mark Twain. I could just see the riverboat. I could just see him out on the water on the Mississippi River, and I was just bubbling over with reading.
Wow,
reading.
Wow,
and I think I might have been about in the sixth or seventh grade when I read Rebecca, and I've forgotten who Rebecca was written by now. But that was in English Victorian literature.
Wow.
So, but I digress. I'm coming back to the fact that growing up in the 50s, there was no thought about you will finish high school and you will go to work in someone's home as a maid, or you could not that there's anything wrong with that. But my mother and father instilled in us that there was more to mm-hmm. life than
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Boys and girls in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
the boys, if they were not able to go to college, they had to join some branch of service.
Wow.
They were not going to be just on the streets and just doing our jobs. They had to have a goal in mind.
Wow.
We grew up knowing that we had to have a goal in mind.
Wow.
So my mother was not an educated lady. My father was. He went as far as he could go at that particular time. He went to an academy in Herron, Texas.
Wow.
And my mother went as far as the fourth grade.
No
but
way.
My mother was very talented.
Uh-huh.
She could take a picture we would get the Houston Post, and she would see pictures of patterns of dresses that she would want to make.
Mm-hmm.
And she used newspaper. I've seen her cut out patterns from a newspaper, or if she didn't have the newspaper, brown bags, and cut out a pattern. And she would make the clothes, some of the clothes that we would wear.
Wow.
So she was an inspiration to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My mother was just really an inspiration. She taught us respect for ourselves along with Daddy. And I cannot leave my father out.
Right.
Because he was a philosopher, more or less. He was the one that would give me the words of wisdom.
Right.
And my mother would give me the words from the Bible, and so
wow.
they connected. But as you said, we didn't know we were poor.
Wow.
My mother could paper houses. She would she'd paper the house, and it wasn't newspaper. It was real wallpaper.
Wow.
She knew how to mix up the paste and from
right.
from the flour
uh-huh.
and water and make the paste to put the wallpaper on the walls. And she was just an ideal woman. She could fit any place. She could fit in the home as a homemaker. She could fit in the yard as a gardener.
Yeah.
She could fit in the workforce as
right.
a maid.
Right.
But before that, before she became working at, she was a maid at at A&M mm-hmm. when the school was just an all-boys school. But before that, up until I guess it might have been about 49, there was a place during World War II, it was called the Sewing Room, and they made uniforms, and they sent these uniforms off to different people. And there was a USO in Bryant that was an army base at first. So they would sew clothes and prepare clothes for different people. She could, as I told you, she had a mind to, she could just look at something. If you wanted it, she could make it.
Wow.
And not only did she do that, but she was a quilter. I have quilts today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have
yeah.
quilts today yeah. that they are in my house that she quilted.
Mm-hmm.
Neatly done quilts.
Yeah. So I remember being at the house
mm-hmm.
As a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she and her friends.
Next door.
Right. But not only her either, but like Miss mm-hmm. Potts mm-hmm. would be over there. And I can think of, I want to say it was Miss Ford, maybe,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
would be there. And it so it would be Grandma, and it would be
Miss Ruby,
Miss Potts,
mm-hmm.
and Miss Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come, and they would say what type of quilt they
yes.
were going to make.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I'm going to make a wedding ring. I'm
mm-hmm.
going to make a this. I'm going to make a that. And I will watch them pull out those quilting horses,
mm-hmm.
And they would sit and sew.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was amazing to me. And we didn't realize how truly difficult the task
yeah.
was until I've just recently been seeing people going back to quilting. Actually, a young girl that Marcus,
mm-hmm.
his girlfriend's mother, they quilt. She makes quilts. Mm-hmm. And wow, I had no idea, but they absolutely love them. And they're not done like with the cottons, like how I watched Grandma and them roll out the cotton
mm-hmm.
and, you know, all of that in it, side of it. Not, it was, yeah, the lining of it. It was absolutely incredible. No, it wasn't even like the lining. It was the, like, almost like they would stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Those little, you know, the patterns would feel them with cotton. It was absolutely incredible. So not only did she do that, but I remember making her own soap.
Yes.
Yes. And I remember also her planting the garden and raising the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm traumatized still to this day over those chickens because I thought they would be her friends until I saw her wringing necks one day. So. Hey, look, Mom, we're going to be right back. You are listening to Refresh. I'm Regina Johnson, your host, and we're going to take a quick break and see you.
The Word of God is true, and if He says that He will never leave us, if He says that He is perfecting the things concerning us, then you best believe that He is. We serve an awesome God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. So to my brothers and my sisters, let's gut it up, because the outcome is going to be great.
Don't miss Refresh with Pastor Regina Johnson every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Oh, in your arms, but I fell through the grass. And yep, I had you in my heart, but I guess I relaxed. Like I'm living for the wrong reasons, through the seasons. Trying to fall for you, but then they put me on blast. It's like I try to speak my mind because I know that I'm his. And yep, I try to speak my mind, but it don't fly with them kids. Man, if I'm not talking about the newest Nikes or releases, they put the mute on me. I can't speak about my Jesus like I'm living for him. I'm slipping the sin. I turn around and make the amends. I try to fit in. I mess it up and stumble again. I'm taking this pen and writing everything so I remember just how sweet that it is. Yeah, man, I got issues. I can't even lie. My only saving grace is knowing I got you inside. I'm done with saving face. I don't got a thing to hide. So don't leave me alone. Keep coming day and night.
Never Had It So Good 101.1 is proud to have talk radio on their platform. Like Pastor Regina Johnson, Refresh Radio, James Deshaies, Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, Daquan King, Revive Radio, Warren Sally with Man Cave Radio, Sky Wonders with Unmuted, Your Voice Matters, Wake Up Call Radio with Pastors Warren and Annie Sally, Peace Within Radio with Henry Washington, The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams. Dig Radio with Pastor Annetta Watson. Crazy Sports Mom with Doretha Anderson. Been There, Done That with Cindy Smith. Pave Your Way to Success with Rudy and Michelle Govan. Spiritually Reincarnated with Gilbert Sines. In Times Like These with Benita Coney. Sports Talk Atlanta with Matt D. and Travis McGee. Sports Talk Carolina with Andre White and Nick Emerson. Sports Talk Money Podcast with Elliot Johnson. Power 803 with Reverend John Robinson. Totally Healed Radio with Angel Anderson. Bless This House Gospel House with Bishop Timothy Henderson. And It's a Way Out and a Way to Stay Out with Marlon Reed. I'm talking about absolutely the best talk show host in the country right here. A Never Had It So Good 101.1, the world's radio station. Spreading the word of the Lord through music ministry on Gospel 107. We're live on NHISG 101.1 every Sunday. Gospel music from legends Lee Williams, Rance Allen, and Shirley Caesar. Join us for Sunday service delivered by Pastor Regina Johnson, Pastor Russell Moore, and Pastor Johnny Ray Noble. Bible study with Pastor Aaron B. Williams. And Christian Talk Radio with Pastor Annetta Watson, Pastor Annie Sally, Pastor Warren Sally, and Benita Coney. Gospel 107, every Sunday on Never Had It So Good 101.1.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome you back to Refresh. I'm Regina Johnson. I'm your host. And today we are discussing women in history. I chose to talk about my mom. And so because truly she has been a great contribution, not only to our area, but to many other areas, surrounding areas, and other areas throughout the United States, just because of the people that whose lives you impact. I'd like for you to just, so we talked about, like, you know, your mom and your dad and so, and you growing up. Now let's kind of shift on from there. So you graduate from high school, you graduate from Camp and Bryant. Mm-hmm. You go on from there to Prairie View. Mm-hmm. I was just reminded, I think it was like a week ago, you were telling me, reminded me when A&M was an all-boys school. Mm-hmm. And Purview actually is a sister, a sister school to
A&M
sister. Mm-hmm. And so you went from there to A&M, I mean to Purview,
mm-hmm.
Because at that time, explain.
Because at that time in 54, when I finished high school, there was still segregation.
Okay.
So then A&M was not integrated. So I passed A&M, and also A&M was not a co-ed then.
Mm-hmm.
I went from Kemp to Purview, where in 1954 I finished my undergraduate major in English and a minor in library science in 1958. After 1958, I started to work on my, off and on, working on my master's degree. I have a master's in English and a minor, a graduate minor in speech and drama. I have taught in various schools around in this area. In fact, I've taught 37 years in the classroom. I taught in Lufkin. My first beginning was here in Conroe. It started 1958 in November when I came in. Dorothy Reese was librarian at Washington School, and she was out having her son Gary. So I worked here at Washington School Library for 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to Lufkin. In the meantime, I had been my husband here in Conroe. So I went to Lufkin. I worked 2 years in Lufkin. All of this time, there was still segregation. So I worked at the high school that was called Dunbar High School.
Mm-hmm.
I was both a librarian at Dunbar and a speech and drama teacher plus an English teacher.
When did it change when you had to, you went from being in segregated schools to integrated? When was that in your career?
That was in the last class here at Washington School in 1968. 1968 was the last class that we had that was not integrated.
Right. I remember you maneuvering through integration. I actually also remember just briefly, I was not a part of the segregated system for long, but I do remember the transition.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going from a predominantly African-American school to, I think maybe my one Hispanic was there on my grade level. And I remember it changing. I remember the year before it changing, when at school the kids were being bused up to Conroe High School, and how that was very difficult for, we could feel it. We could feel the difference. And I even remember it was very clear that the atmosphere was completely different once it had happened. We were not like family. It was really, we were in school. Because I remember the principal, like, you know, tearing your butt up. And not just like getting a pop. Either. Like, I remember... I almost called him Professor Arthur,
Mr. Archie.
I remember the principal of Washington School. I remember him chasing a boy around the medical table in the nurse's room and whipping that kid all over. He would have gone to jail today, but were determined to make sure that they saw success in the kids' lives. When you experienced transition, how was that for you? Because, I mean, the reason why I chose you, because you're not just some teacher. You're actually an outstanding teacher. You don't talk much about that, but I remember, you know, all the accolades. I remember that. I remember asking you, do you think it's a possibility of you being selected, you know, to be a part of that crew, to go to the wherever, into space? I mean, those are things like that we don't discuss. But your name was in that. And so it was like, wow. I mean, you know, to select someone. And I mean, you were the top of your game. And so what was it like when you entered into that word well. I mean, I'm going to share a story that you shared, teaching thing that you used to do with To Kill a Mockingbird. But you tell about what that was like when integration came in.
Well, integration came in. Our faculty at Washington School, our high school faculty, was just dispersed
right
throughout. We were, say, one teacher went to, two teachers went to Conroe High School in the English department, and some went over to Crockett, and some went to Travis, and some went various places. So we were not together anymore.
Right. How did that feel? Was it scary?
No, it was not scary, but it was a kind of sad because we were separated and we seemed to have been losing what we had, our identity at Washington School, because Washington School, from the first to the 12th grade, we were a family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the students who finished from Washington School, they still consider Washington School faculty when they were going up until 1968,
right,
that was a family, because we had relationships. We knew the students' parents,
right,
and the parents could talk to us, and we could come to the parents, and we could discuss the problems, and we didn't have any problems with correcting at that particular
right
time.
Right.
So, but after that, we just kind of became divided.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, though, even when we integrated, I have friends that I would not trade. And
Of all races.
I have friends of all races that I would not trade for the world.
Right.
My first separation was I went to Conroe High School. I taught there 2 years.
Right.
I met people in math and in English, and I still know some now that we meet and we talk together.
Right.
No.
Was that where you met Marchita?
No, I met Marchita at McCullough
High School.
Yes, met Marchita at McCullough High
mm-hmm
School.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still people like Bonnie, Nola Bowden.
Mm-hmm.
Nola was in English. Lynn Cartwright was in English there at Conroe High School when I was there. And we kept in contact with each other. And I still see Nola, and we have conversations together.
Right.
And then I went on to Crockett Junior High School. And I met faculty members there that we have lasting. Ann Laird at that time, who is... she's been retired, but she was in counseling there, and we have a lasting a relationship. There are so many people. And then when I went to when McCullough School opened in 1976, Bobby Wise came to Crockett because they were getting ready to change Crockett over again.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching seventh graders English, but Bobby Wise came, and he got a faculty from Crockett Junior High, and we went on to McCullough, and I have so many friends, living and dead, that I worked with for 20 years at McCullough High School before the Woodlands High School came into being in 96.
Wow. Wow.
So,
okay, let's go back. And so you were at I kind of jumped out of Purview, but you were there, and
mm-hmm
so you were degreed, made a lot of relationships
mm-hmm
there,
mm-hmm
great lasting friendships
yeah
there. I know that for a fact, yeah, because my first year of college, I actually ran into your friends, and it seemed like throughout my life I could not escape your friends. No matter where I was always running into them. And you know what? But what a blessing, because of those relationships in which you developed
mm-hmm
opened doors for me. Open doors for my children.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really grateful. I'm truly grateful. It used to be an annoyance when I was growing up. It was like every corner I turned, there was someone correcting me because they knew my mother. I was in trouble. I remember one day there was a fight that broke out in high school. down the hallway. And, man, I want to go see just like all the other kids. I get ready to go, and one of your friends, Ms. Cook, she said, hey, Regina, turn it around. Come on back. I was like, oh, Lord. And when I finally graduated from high school, I go to college, and, man, my English professor, oh, my gosh, was your friend, Mrs. Bernice Webster. Mm-hmm. I was like, are you kidding me? And I go in there. She's got the same personality you have. You just got to know her, people. That kind of dry sense of humor. She said something about off the wall, like with Michael Jackson. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, the next thing I know, I miss class, and she calls me, ooh, professor calls you in your room because you skipped English 8 a.m. in the morning. And so, yeah, I couldn't skip that one. If I thought I was going to catch a break, it wasn't going to happen. And I showed back up, and she had my desk next to her desk. I was mortified. I said, oh my goodness. But as I've grown older, I see the value in what you were doing, and the connections and relationships, mm-hmm. and it raised the bar for us. Even though at that time we did not want the bar raised, we wanted to be like everyone else, and not saying that everyone else is family, you know, they weren't raising the bar, but I know for a fact, whatever was going on over there that I thought I wanted, you were not allowing us to be able to participate in.
And going into Purview, that was a family type atmosphere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When I came into in the English department, I'll never forget, on the undergraduate level, there were only 7 English majors.
Wow.
We would have 7 in the class.
Wow.
In my class of 54, there were 7 English majors.
Wow.
And we got to know our department head was Dr. Ann Campbell. And she was not only our department head, but she was also our teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people who had made great impacts on my life at Purview. Mrs. Frankie Ledbetter, who was a diehard English teacher.
Wow.
And Dr. Smith. And there were people in math. I kept a close association until I've gotten 80 and I've lost some of these faculty members, but I stayed in contact with them all the way through. And going back to the campus, it was a delight to go back. We had certain guidelines at Purview that we could not cross. There was strict rules there then. When at freshmen, I remember we had freshman dormitories, and the boys and girls we didn't have any co-ed doms.
I don't know if they have them now there, but I know they do have them somewhere in other places.
But we didn't, and we didn't have walking on the campuses. That didn't start like my junior year was the year at Purview when boys could come to Suarez Hall and pick us up.
Wow.
And to go to the movie, which was in the gym.
In the gym.
Yeah,
it was
but
still.
We would meet on the corner.
Wow. Hey, look, because we are running out of time, I want to just kind of jump into. So you have students whose lives you have impact. But I remember you when you would come time, and you're talking about like after integration,
mm-hmm.
and. You were really, you would teach on some really difficult subjects that a lot of people might have struggled. But I remember you,
mm-hmm.
was To Kill a Mockingbird, correct?
Yes.
You would go in at the beginning of that semester, you were teaching To Kill a Mockingbird. You would write on the board, nigger,
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
big letters.
Yes.
And the kids would walk in. And you really discussed it, and y'all walked through it. And as a matter of fact, one of my dear friends today, you taught her son, who's actually an attorney in Dallas, Texas. You called him Theo, and Margie Bailey, her son. And those students, and we're not talking about African-American students.
No.
But you impact all students. They loved
mm-hmm.
you and called you. What did they call
Mama
you?
West.
Called Mama West.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely crazy that kids would call you that in high school, but they did. They did. And they loved the fact they could tell the story that you either had to correct them or you had to address them in some manner. But the one thing that always resonates is that you were there for them. And they thank you for being a thorough instructor. One of your students that really, he just blesses my heart whenever I, and that would be the gentleman from Dallas, Texas.
Earl Thompson.
Earl Thompson.
Yeah.
And yeah, mm-hmm. Earl. Earl actually was, he was in banking. Was he the president of the bank? He was, what was he? You don't remember, but he had
now he's involved in really in athletics because he's working with.
Now he has. He's retired, mm-hmm. right? And now he went back and is working in athletics.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I remember we were really impressed with him. I can't remember exactly what the job was, but he wasn't a teller. That's
no,
a fact.
No.
I actually thought that he was the bank president, but that's too easy for us to research. But I remember he gives you a lot of the credit for the job in which he has. Many of your students have gone on to do great things, and they give you credit for it. And actually, when you go back to talk about Washington Junior High School, one of we have graduating in that with in that class, those classes that were there, they went on to do some really great things. Actually, there's a Rhodes Scholar that was a part of Washington who is Mrs. Hill's daughter.
Yeah.
Doctors, mm-hmm. lawyers,
Wanda Hill,
mm-hmm. yes, a Rhodes Scholar. And you never would have thought that that came out of what we call now the hood.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys gave your all to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you as Mom, but many know you as Miss West. Mm-hmm. Others know you as Tommy Dabney. But however they know you, you impact their lives. And so for those whose lives you impact, they did not get the opportunity to tell you thank you. I say thank you to you for everything that you have given. My God, I am so proud that you are my mother. I am grateful, truly grateful.
Thank you.
Oh, you are welcome, Miss West. And for those of you that are just tuning in, you missed a great show. But if you want to be with us, come back in with us on next week at 6 Central Standard Time, 7 Eastern. Did I just repeat myself? You got me kind of caught up here and I'm about to cry. So, but anyway, come and be a part of Refresh. I promise you, you'll be blessed and encouraged and most of all, refreshed. This is Regina Johnson. See you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We are out.